There are no magnificent sunsets without sand sleeves. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown. He's no guru, but he loves Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. The program is Key Life, and here's Steve with a teaching for today. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon was as much a blessing to you as my pastor's sermon was to me. This week, we're continuing with our Old Testament survey, and I'm going to spend this week, and I think I've got to move on, this week on the book of Joshua. If you have been listening, you're aware that we're taking each book of the Old Testament and spending some time on each of those books, giving you a cursory introduction to that book, who wrote it, when it was written, why it was written, the central themes of the book, and then I become a tour director through that particular book and lift up some of the verses that are particularly meaningful to me. And we're going to continue with this until we finish with the Old Testament, unless you get tired of it or I get tired of it, and then we'll take a break and we'll go do something else and come back to it. But this is really important stuff. The Old Testament is so good and so filled with God's grace and His love, believe it or not. Well, it's our practice on Monday, before we study the book, to go before the throne. Let's do that. Father, as we begin a new week of broadcasts, as we begin a new week in our lives, Father, you've planned it all. And you know what you're doing, and you're sovereign. And sometimes that's kind of scary because we want to be in control. Father, teach us, even if it sometimes hurts, that you are sovereign, that this is your play, that you wrote it, but also remind us that nothing happens to us that doesn't first pass through a nail-scarred hand. Remind us of your love and your grace. Remind us about where you found us, and remind us of home. But Father, even if you do all of that, it's still hard sometimes. Evil is still evil. Broken hearts are still broken hearts. Pain is still pain. Loss is still loss. And Father, you're great and we're small, and you're everything and we're nothing, and you're infinite and we're finite. And you're eternal and we tarry but just a little while. And so remember our frame, Father. Bend down low and listen to the sound of our tears as they strike the ground. And Father, keep us close to you during the in-between times. Father, you know the things we're going through. You know the loneliness and the doubts and the fear and the sin about which we're so ashamed. You know it all, and so we just lay it here on the altar before you. As a child would bring something that is broken to a father who is wise and capable of fixing it. Father, as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins, for those who listen that you would forgive them their sins, that we might see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're up to... If you're in a place where you can open the Bible, open it to the book of Joshua, there's no reviewing of where we've been, because we've been so many different places. So I'm just going to start where we left off. We're in the process of just flipping through the Bible in the book of Joshua and lifting up a few very important verses in the book of Joshua. And if you were listening last week, we looked at Joshua 13:1b. You are very old. I can identify with that. And a little bit later, I want to tell you about some teaching from an old man, Joshua. But for today, just notice the phrase, you're very old, and here it comes. And there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. Some of the versions says there remains yet much land to be possessed. Isn't that always true? Nothing is ever perfect. Nothing is ever together. And you aren't home yet. It's so important that we remember that as Christians. Sometimes we take promises that were meant for when we get home, and we apply them now, and then think God has failed us because those, quote, promises don't come true. Stop it. And I'll try to stop it, too. We got to remind each other that we live in a fallen world, Another way of saying that is to say that we live in an imperfect world, and because it is an imperfect world, there is no person, no situation, no institution, no government. Well, I knew that. No curriculum, which is not tainted with fallenness and imperfection. Right now, I bet you wish you lived in Florida. We get the sunshine and the warmth, and you get the snow and the sleet and the rain. And I want you to know that I would feel sorry for you, except for the number of you who write us in the summer when we get the humidity and the heat. And preachers preach sermons titled, "So You Think It's Hot Here." Then you tell me about how wonderful it is to live in another place. So it comes out in the wash. But at any rate, one of the really nice things about living in Florida are the magnificent, almost breathtaking sunsets. I mean, they light up the sky in a way that you can hardly stand it. I think I told you last week that sometimes Anna and I, when we lived on Key Biscayne, would be driving over to Miami, there would be a sunset, and we couldn't even say to each other, "Isn't that awesome?" or "Isn't that beautiful?" because the words seem so very inadequate. Well, let me tell you something else about sunsets in Florida. Sunset is when the sand fleas come out. And you say, "What are sand fleas?" Well, you can't see. They call them no-see-ums. That means you can't see them, but you can feel them, and they bite. And the time they come out, it's right at sunset. And if you live near the ocean, you can look at that sunset, but you can't look at it very long. You can't look at it very long because you're getting bitten by the sand fleas. Now, as soon as it gets dark, they disappear. And before sunset, you can't find them. They don't bother you. But at sunset, the sand fleas come out. Now, let's go from the ridiculous to something more important. When you face the reality of the way the world really is and you find you can't cope with that reality, remember the sand fleas, and you're not home yet. You found the perfect husband? Wrong. Don't forget the sand fleas. You found the perfect job? Right? Wrong. You found the perfect church? Right? Wrong. You found the perfect minister? Are you kidding? You found the perfect child? You gave birth to that? Wrong. Wrong. Don't forget the sand fleas. It's the nature of living in a fallen world. One of the problems with living in Florida is that people here come here sometimes to escape their problems. They want to live in the sun and fun of Florida, and then they find out they brought their problems with them. The problems they had in the cold, gray north, they have in the sunny, warm south. And the devastation is something to deal with. When I first became a pastor here in the olden days, I handled more suicide calls in the first year than in my entire ministry combined before. It's very important that we not forget the sand fleas. Before you get your divorce, remember the sand fleas. Before you change your job for a better one, remember the sand fleas. Before you have an affair, remember the sand fleas. Before you do something you can't fix, remember the sand fleas, because you'll wake up some morning and the sand fleas will still be there. Well, enough about that. Now, if you've got a Bible and it's open to Joshua, flip over to the 10th chapter. And I'm going to get a chance to mention this a little bit, and then we'll talk about it more. I want to talk about the significance of Gilgal. In Joshua 10:15, then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. I love these biblical names. I mean, they just kind of roll off your tongue. Then Joshua 10:43, then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Now, what's the significance of Gilgal? Well, let's look at a couple of references that we've seen. Joshua 4:20, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. Remember the memorials, Joshua 5:8-9. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Samuel 11:14 is the place where Saul was consecrated. consecrated as king, Gilgal. By the 8th century, Gilgal had become a shrine, conserving the Jewish traditions about the land. Amos 4:4 and Hosea 4:15. That's enough. Right? We could spend the rest of the time on that. Now, after Joshua conquered the cities, I would suggest that there were better places to set up camp. I didn't go there, because that was the place where God was. There ought to be a place in all of our lives when it gets really hard, a closet, as it were. There ought to be a place in all of our lives when we move away from all of the hustle and the bustle, the busyness of trying to keep things going, of paying the mortgage. There ought to be a Gilgal in our life, a place where the altar is. It may just be in your heart, but you got to find it, because if you don't find it, you'll go crazy. And for me, that's a short journey to be driven crazy. You got to find a Gilgal, and that's why Joshua went back to Gilgal, because he needed a place. When Jesus said, come apart and rest a while, most of us think that that's a mistranslation, because he says, go into all the world. But sometimes, you got to get quiet. You got to be still. You got to remember who you are. You got to remember whose you are. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you haven't written for the question and answers booklet, I'd love to send it to you. We compiled the 10 most asked questions that we get and my answers to them. Questions like, what does the Bible teach about homosexuality, biblical role of women in marriage and the church, can I lose my salvation, what is grace, and a number of others. And if you'll write me, I'll send you this booklet absolutely free without charge or obligation. You can call, too, 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or you can write KEY-LIFE, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address, because we won't know where to send it if you don't. And listen, when I say it's free, I honestly mean that. Most of the people who get the hundreds of thousands of pages and free pieces of literature we send out are not able to help us financially. But if you can, oh man, I would be so appreciative, and I would sleep far more soundly than I do presently. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching as my thank you, Dealing with Temptation. You can charge a contribution on your MasterCard Visa Discover card included in your envelope. Hey, include the call letters of the station when you write a call, and Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.